Lord Jesus, we live in a world where so much hurt, so much pain, people suffering and struggling all around us. Help us to get it. As we conclude the series today, Lord, I pray that you help us to realize that you put confidence in us, you put love in us, that we in turn can put love and confidence in the lives of others. And help us to learn how we can do that in even greater ways today. In Jesus' name, amen. This past week, one of our former presidents was laid to rest, George H.W. Bush. And a man of great faith and a great character and a great leader in our country. And even when he's president, just like the world today is politically polarized, so it was back then too. But what was really interesting at that time is that people on all sides felt that one of the best things that George H.W. Bush brought to his presidency was his wife Barbara, because everybody loved Barbara. In fact, it's obvious she brought a lot of confidence to him. They had a great relationship, and now those two are reunited in heaven. And we should be thankful for people like that that serve us. In the same, we're called upon to serve others, because there's people out there that need confidence. This is the sixth week and the final week of the series talking about the secret to confidence. And for those of you that have been through the series, and you know, in a nutshell, what and who is the source of our confidence? God. Our faith is the source of our confidence. The stronger we grow in faith, the more we grow in love, and the more we grow in what? In confidence. And the more that we love God and others, the more we want that love to be shared with others. And today the focus is going to be on how can we share this confidence with those around us. And John 13:34 says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. But all the laws are summarized in loving God, loving our neighbor. And my question is, how much do we love the people in this world, no matter who they are? Because we're called upon to love everybody. And I want to share with you 5 points today. And I believe this is an outline you may want to put in a place where you can refer to it, because these 5 points are, I think, very important, and 5 points that Jesus applied on how he trained his disciples and gave them amazing confidence, and ultimately through them, the world was changed. And the first point is this: accept their uniqueness. Accept the uniqueness of people. You know, Jesus chose some very interesting people to do the work of ministry. Those disciples he chose were not the cream of the crop, so to speak, worldly speaking. They weren't highly educated. They didn't live in palaces. They were common, ordinary fishermen, one tax collector. And you look at them, and you think, how could they change the world? But Jesus saw something in them. He saw uniqueness. He made them special. And he knew he would change the world through them. It says in Romans 15:7, accept one another just as Christ accepted you. In 1 Corinthians 13:5, love doesn't demand its own way. You know, every one of us is unique and special. There's 7 billion plus people in the world today, and nobody exactly the same. And God made every person special and unique. And every one of us has a plan, a calling to make a difference in this world. And we need each other. In my office, if you go to my office, one of my prominent displays is this guy right here, Mr. Potato Head. And he reminds me that we are the body of Christ. There's some are ears, some are eyes, some are nose, some are feet. Every one of us unique. And every one of us has a special place, and we need each other. In fact, this whole planet is interconnected. And a lot of people out there, they don't realize how special they are. They don't realize that God made them for a special reason and purpose, to accept the uniqueness of the people around us. Secondly, to trust them with responsibility, to trust people with responsibility. You know, Jesus took these disciples and he sent them out to do amazing things, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to proclaim the gospel. Ultimately, he was going to turn the ministry over to them. He gave them incredible responsibility. You know, same thing is true in life. It says in Proverbs 11:13, You can put confidence in someone who is trustworthy. In John 20, verse 21, as a father has sent me, so I am sending you. Now, years ago, when I was in high school, I worked for a maintenance crew that was involved in school districts and the schools I went to growing up. And it was the summer of my senior year, after my senior year before I went to college, and they're going to put in a computerized clock system throughout the whole district. And they were going to hire a company to do it. They're going to pay them tens of thousands. They thought, no, we're going to do it ourselves. And the guy overseeing the project pulled me aside and said, John, you're going to be the one leading this charge. There's going to be seven buildings. You're going to pull over 20 miles of wire. And if you make one wrong connection, the whole thing could blow up. It could mess the thing up. I'm thinking, wow, can I really do this? They gave me a lot of responsibility. But during that time, I learned and I grew a lot. And I was thankful for that opportunity, that they would trust me to do that. The same is true for we as parents, as grandparents, different situations in life. It's important that we give people responsibility because people can do amazing things. To believe in people, to rise up. In fact, Jesus was the master at delegating. He delegated his ministry to 11 common ordinary guys after Judas betrayed him. And they went out and they changed the world. The third thing is this. Expect the best. Expect the best in people. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:7, if you love someone, you'll always believe in him and always expect the best of him. For Jesus with his disciples, at one point, he says to them, I give you all power. He goes, go make disciples of all nations. And he says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That he says to these common, ordinary people, you're going to change the entire world. And they did. He raised the bar high. We're capable of so much more than we realize, even the people around us. The bar we set is a bar that we get. I think it's just so important in our lives that we raise that bar high. We expect the best in people. I read about a study done years ago by some people from Harvard. They went into a school and they gave some kindergartners to fifth graders some tests, and basically for their IQ. And after the test was over, in each of the classes, they chose 5 to 7 kids that were kind of normal IQ. But they went to the teachers who were going to teach them next year and said, this list of kids, these 5 to 7 kids in your classroom are special kids. They're very smart, very intelligent, and treat them accordingly. And so they did. After that year, they retested the kids. And those kids' IQs increased anywhere from 15 to almost 30 points. Why? Because ultimately they're raised to a higher level. The same thing happens in life. And what's so sad sometimes, you see people are putting people down or saying, you're stupid or you look silly or you look funny. And people are labeled, and sometimes they believe those labels. We as a people of God are called upon to bless people, to show them how special they are, to say, you know what, you are really smart. You do this really well. To see the strengths in people and to really call those strengths out and to raise them up, not to tear people down. To set higher levels of excellence and to realize people could do amazing things. But sometimes people are going to disappoint us. And the fourth point is this, correct without condemning. Correct without condemning. Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. Ephesians 6:4, parents, don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with loving discipline. Ephesians 4:29, don't use harmful words, use only helpful words, the kind that build up. You know, Jesus was very honest with his disciples. In fact, sometimes he was very blunt with them, but he always loved them. One time to Peter, you know, the same chapter, he says, you know, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. And then a few verses later, what does he say? Get behind me, Satan. And later on, we see that Peter denied Jesus, and Jesus comes back to him and says 3 times, Peter, do you love me? And then Peter replies back, yes, Lord, I love you. And Jesus doesn't condemn him. He gives him more responsibility. Go feed my sheep. Go feed my sheep. You know, it's so important in life that we are honest with one another. What I see, in fact, on a part-time basis, I serve as a coach and a Christian counselor. And what I see is a world struggling with addiction. And addictions are ways that Satan works to lead us on the wrong path, to take our joy away. And it's so important sometimes that we are honest with one another in love, because we need to be accountable to one another. And so don't be afraid to correct people, but do it without condemning, because if you truly love people, you want the best for them. There's only one addiction that is good. Being addicted to who? To Jesus and our faith in Him and growing in His Word. And finally, never give up on them. Never give up on them. And it says in 1 Corinthians 13, 7, love knows no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It can outlast anything. You know, Jesus never gave up on his disciples. He never gives up on us. Even in the very beginning, Adam and Eve sinned, and God doesn't come down and wipe out the planet and start over. He never gives up on us. The same way we should never give up on one another. Probably one of the most famous speeches in history done by Winston Churchill was five words. What was it? Never, never, never give up. The same way we should never give up on people, just like God never gives up on us. In the Bible, there's a story about a guy named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. And in Luke chapter 19, it says he was very rich. Tax collectors were hated in that day and age because they had the right to collect as much tax as they wanted, and sometimes they would collect maybe three or four times the amount that was owed for their own profit. What made him worse, he wasn't just a tax collector, he was what? A chief tax collector. He had a lot of tax collectors working for them, and they all gave him a piece of the business. And he was extremely rich. And so Jesus goes into Jericho, and where's Zacchaeus? He's up in a tree because he's a wee little man, little small guy. And Jesus walks by, and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. You see, he realized Zacchaeus' uniqueness. He also gives him responsibility. He says, you know, Zacchaeus, we're going to your house. The party's going to be at your place. And he willingly gets down. And we see as well that Jesus expected the best of him, because he knew that Zacchaeus would come through. And we don't know exactly how he corrected him, but we know he didn't condemn him. And I think Zacchaeus wanted change in his life. I think he was miserable. He had all his money, all his stuff, but he was not happy. He wanted a new lease on life. And Jesus never gave up on him. And what happened? Zacchaeus became a believer that day. He turned his life over to Jesus. He says, I give to the poor half of all my wealth. And he had a lot of wealth. Very wealthy man. And the poor get half of that wealth. And for all the people that I have wronged, I am going to pay them back. How many times over? Anybody know? Four times over. Imagine the tax rebate that came back on that day to those people and over time. Imagine if the IRS comes to you and says, you know what? For the last 20 years, we have overcharged you, and we're going to give you all the money you paid in and four times that amount. Would you like that? Pretty nice, huh? That's what happened to that community. They were griping and complaining when Jesus went to his house, but afterwards they're all celebrating. And Jesus went through all five of these steps, and a life was changed forever. And a whole community was changed. A few weeks ago, I got a phone call from somebody. I was actually going through a day. It was kind of not one of my better days, okay? And I got this phone call from a guy that I used to do ministry with that was involved with worship. And he was an individual I went to years ago. He was, I knew him for many years. And what happened was I was starting a new worship service. And I wanted him to play in the band that I was going to be a part of, because I was also going to do the music for the worship service as well. And all the previous worship directors had dismissed him because he was notoriously late or he wasn't prepared. But I accepted his uniqueness. He's a very gifted man, very gifted musician. And I gave him responsibility in the band to be a leader. And I also expected the best from him. I expected him to perform at a high level of leadership. And did succeed. And there's times I had to correct him. There's times he was late, and I'd pull him aside and say, you can't do that. There's times he wasn't fully prepared, and I talked to him in love and said, we got to do better than this. But I never gave up on him. And he really came through. And so he called me up a few weeks ago, and he said, Pastor John, I just want you to know how much I appreciate the fact you never gave up on me. You gave me a chance to serve, and it really made a huge difference in my life because I love to be involved in leading worship. And I got to share a story with you. He said, for the longest time, I was about ready to give up myself, but you didn't give up on me. You gave me confidence. And a while back, there was a friend of mine, a person I knew years ago, that had cancer. He had no family. He had no friends to turn to. And the cancer was terminal. He didn't want to die alone. And so me and my wife brought him into our apartment. They didn't have any extra room, so they put a medical bed in their living room. And he stayed there for the last 2 months of his life. And 2 weeks before he passed away, my friend shared his faith in Christ with this gentleman. And he became a believer in Jesus Christ. And he died peacefully. He said, Pastor John, I never would have been able to do that if you hadn't believed in me. And I said, it wasn't me. That was God who did that. That was God working through you. Every time I see a video we saw earlier, I've seen it probably 20 times, I almost break down in tears, especially at the end. And I want us to imagine we got those glasses on when we leave here today. And there's all these hurting people out there. There's hurting people even here. And to be there for one another, in the midst of all our busyness and all the things that life is doing to kind of get us on these paths that are really not all that important, God calls upon us to love people and to open our eyes to the need that is out there. In the midst of all the busyness of this month, I want us to focus on the true meaning of what Christmas is, and that's Jesus. It's about relationship. It's not about things. It's about people. And I pray that God is putting somebody on your heart right now. Someone's name in your mind, a face, somebody he's calling on you to reach out to bring confidence into their life. And who is that person? Or who are those people? And I want to encourage us today to begin to plan how we're going to connect with them and help them to have even a more amazing Christmas, because we have the source of confidence. And his name is Jesus. And this world so desperately needs him and his love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that today when we leave here, that we leave on a mission to connect with somebody out there that needs your confidence. Help us to accept their uniqueness. Help us to trust them with responsibility. Help us to expect the best. Help us to correct without condemning. Help us to never give up. Lord, if we need to, help us to take this outline and put it somewhere where we can refer to it and put these words into action. Lord, as we saw in the video, help us to get it. You have love. You love us. You put confidence in us. Lord, I pray for today a chain reaction of love and confidence to pour from the sanctuary out into the world. In Jesus' name, amen.